Genesis, the first chapter. God is doing something. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? His presence is all around this room. Genesis, the first chapter. While you're getting it, I want to remind all of those who are watching online, since you can't be here with us and you can't access the information that we're giving you, to find out more about mental health and silence the shame, you can go to www.silencetheshame.com to get more information. If you are in a crisis, you can text silence, one word, silence, to 741-741, and you can get some help right now. If you are in a crisis, text silence to 741-741, and you can get help right now. I want to take you to Genesis, the first chapter. I want to read verses 1 and 2, and then I want to finish it up and conclude it. Well, I'll just read. How about that? And y'all just flow with me, if that's all right. Genesis 1. I want to read verses 1 through 3. And then I want to seal it and finish it up in Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2. So Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, then Genesis 2, verses 1 through 2. The word of the Lord says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." The issues were the earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The issues were that the earth was without form. Without form. The word form means function. It was without function, and it was void, devoid of purpose. And darkness wasn't in the deep, but it was on the face of it. So the earth had no function, had no purpose, and darkness was on the surface. And the Spirit of God was also hovering on the face of the waters. Yeah. So while there was a circumstance, the Creator was hovering over the circumstance. And when He surveyed the circumstance, He then spoke. He didn't speak until He surveyed. He had to find out what the issues were before He spoke, because if He spoke without knowing the issues, His word has so much creative power, He could speak to something and create something that's not necessary. So the Bible says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light." There's so much going on here. I can't. "Let there be light. And there was light." I know you know it, and I know you think you know it, and I know you've heard it a million times, but I want to help us to understand what is happening in this creation narrative. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Bible says He saw the light, and the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Yeah. He called the light day and He called the darkness night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were all, the host of them were finished." "And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done." Go to the next verse. "And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it, you don't hear me, he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, Cosmos in a Chaotic State. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. It's why we're here, Lord. There's no other reason to be here than to hear from you, than to worship you. There's no other reason to assemble ourselves if you're not going to be present among us. Father, you are here right now. You're here to heal and to deliver and to set free. You're here to rearrange destinies. You're here to speak order into the chaos. Father, we thank you. There are some chaotic situations in this room. And if we really wanted to be honest for real, we don't know what in the world to do about it. But you do. So Lord, speak to us. Give us a word that changes our nature. Let it cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let it transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts, souls open to receive the word. And on our ears that we're able to hear it. Have your way, Lord. Do whatever you want to do. This is your house. And because it's your house and you've assigned me to this house, I stand in my spiritual authority and I bind every chaotic spirit and I release the power of the Holy Ghost in this place to do as you see fit. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Come on, look at your neighbor real quick and say, God bless the seventh day, baby. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to take you somewhere and I want to take you on a journey. And the reason why I want to take you on this journey and I want to take my time with it and do it slowly is because I need you. I mean, I really need you to get this word this morning. And so I'm going to do it in a rhythmic fashion that I'm not prone to. I'm more prone to letting loose and cutting loose. And taking you somewhere real quick, real fast. But I want you to hear this morning so that it can soak into your spirit so that you can never, ever forget who your God is. The Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, as I've always taught you, that God did not begin when the beginning began. In other words, when you read that word in Hebrew, the word beginning is really plural. It says beginnings. The reason why it's plural is because if it says in the beginning, you assume and I assume and the reader assumes that God begins when the beginning began. In other words, when we open up this sacred text and we look at Genesis 1, this is where God decided to start the story. This was not the beginning of the story, but this is where God started writing the story. In other words, there was something that happened before the story, but we don't get the information of what happened before the story. This is just where God decides to start the story. That's relevant for you and I because it speaks volumes as to how we are saved. There is something called pre-salvation that you have a pre-testimony to. In other words, if you looked at your life before Christ got involved, there were some things that you probably did not want to record in the story either. Y'all are trying to help me in here. In other words, there are some things that you omitted, not because they were altogether bad, it's because they are now irrelevant to the text or to the narrative that's about to be created. In other words, there's some stuff in your life that you should have written about you, but you cannot find record of because of what the Lord has done in your life. People look at your life and they see you, but they don't see all that you have gone through and all that you have been through unless you decide to tell them. Please look at your neighbor and say, help the preacher out real quick and say, he's talking right, he's talking right, he's talking right. You have to understand that then when we read the text and when we break open into Genesis 1, this is where God decides to start the story. And because God decides to start the story in Genesis 1, the Bible says in the beginning or in beginnings, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was problematic. There was a few issues with it. And when we jump into this narrative and we begin to understand it, we begin to understand it in this sense that this is a majestic account, if you will, of God bringing order into chaos. This is God deciding that enough is enough. I am going to bring order into this chaotic situation, and I'm going to come in and step into this situation and look at it, and this is where I decide to start the story. It's amazing to me that God does not decide to start the story when everything is correct, but he decides to start the story when everything is chaotic. It's amazing to me that God does not decide, I'll start the story when they have it all together. I'll start the story when everything looks perfect. I'll start the story when everything is hunky-dory. No, I'll start the story when all hell is breaking loose. And I'll start the story when there's no function and there's no purpose and it looks completely dark and it looks bleak and it looks like nothing is going to happen. That's when God decides to start the story. Are you kidding me? Couldn't he have started the story when it was all finished and all concluded and then said, now our story begins? Oh no. He put right there out in front what the issues were. The Bible says the issues were that the earth was void. Something that was already in functionality now has lost function. Something that was already created now has lost purpose. Something that already existed, Lord have mercy, now is not operating the way it's supposed to operate. You're going to miss me in this because you're thinking that where is he going with it? I'm going to tell you in just a few moments. If you look at the creation narrative and you look at the first few verses of scripture, you could see your life in it. This scripture is a microcosm of your life. Your story didn't start with a miracle. It started with a mess. And God took a mess and turned it into a miracle. Oh, God, I wish I had somebody in here that understood what I was talking about. All of our lives started a hot mess. Oh, Lord Jesus. You came out crying. You came out shivering. You came out crying. You came out cold. You came birthed into a new world and you didn't know what was going on. Your eyes didn't even have its sight yet until they put that nasty goo on your eyes so that the darkness that you were living in for 9 months now had to evade and leave so that you can now survey your new life and what is to come. It always starts with a mess. But when God gets involved, it always ends in the miraculous. This story is the miraculous narrative of how God found a situation and a circumstance. And it is majestic because God brings this order to the cosmos. He literally puts a balance and an equilibrium into the world. So much so that he does it and takes up residence and history and begins his exclusive sovereignty over the situation. In other words, the Bible lets us know that God shows up into a situation because he now wants to be sovereign. sovereign over the whole period and over the whole thing. This is why the Bible lets us know that the Spirit was hovering over the atmosphere. In other words, there was a survey going on of what has taken place and what is going on. You are asking the question, well, how did it get that way, Pastor? Well, we can wax eloquent and we can talk about gap theory and we can go there with that theology and talk about the pre-Adamitic world. We can go there. But for the sake of time, let's just think for a second that something happened that got it into a chaotic state, and we can argue about what happened later, but we do know that something happened that got it into this situation. In other words, I don't have to define every situation for everything. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, I just have to be aware that something occurred that made something like that to be able to speak into a situation. I'm saying something that you don't understand what I'm talking about. In other words, you don't always have to describe in detail what it is that you have gone through or tell everybody every little minute detail of what happened to you in your life. They just need to know something happened that got me jacked up and messed up. But that's just one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is that something also occurred that stopped the mess up and made me into what I am. This. The Bible tells us that God surveys the situation. And when he surveys the situation, he sees the problem. The problem is threefold. The earth is without form. Number one, the earth is without form. It is void, number two. And darkness is on the surface of the deep. The darkness is on the surface. What I created is not on the surface, but darkness is on the surface. And because darkness is on the surface, it's void and it's without form, because somehow what I created had sunken beneath of the dark waters. And now I have to survey what is there and what I got to work with. You don't hear me. And so what I have to work with is not what I created, but what I have to work with is chaos. So the cosmos that I created is now in a chaotic state. And because it's in a chaotic state, I don't have cosmos order to work with. I have disorder to work with. And because I'm God, I can work with disorder just like I can work with order. God, I'm trying to preach this thing and y'all not letting me. In other words, because I am God and because there are no limits or boundary to who I am, I have the ability to start with disorder and I also have the ability to start with order. I can go either way. It doesn't really matter because I am that off the chain that I can work with nothing or I can work with something. God is so off the chain that he doesn't decide to start the story when he actually has something that's, watch me now, that we like to work with. He starts the story with this chaotic situation in the cosmos. And the cosmos has become chaotic and the Spirit is hovering over the cosmos. Now, I have to put this into your spirit. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. The word chaos means confusion and disorder. God is not the author of confusion. So he doesn't start the chaos, but he can work with it. Oh, God, you don't hear what I'm saying. He can work with it. And because he can work with it, he now takes the chaotic situation and says, now let me start creating from the chaos. It is you and I who wants God to simply show up and, like presto, if you will, start putting things back in order in our lives. And we don't want him in any turn start with anything chaotic and then write that in our story and put it on the forefront front newspaper. This is how you're going to start the whole thing out so that everybody in the world can know that my world was flipped upside down and in chaos. And God says, yes, I want the whole world to know that even when everything is out of order and not working and not functioning and flipped upside down and purpose is deep and not no potential is coming out, that I can step into that situation and speak one word. Look, God, my God, who am I preaching to in here? And speak one word. I don't have to use seven. I don't have to use eight. I can just say, let. Before I get to the let, before I get to the let, I have to deal with the what. See, the let is the why, but I have to deal with the what. The what is the darkness, the formlessness, and the earth being void. That's the what. And the Bible gives us this great, almost climactic narrative of God's work in dispelling the chaos and bringing everything into equilibrium and order. It's important to understand then that your hope for the future does not depend on the attempt, my God, of God to achieve something that has never been, but simply to restore what was. You don't hear what I'm saying. See, when you're dealing with what, you have to deal with it in such a way that you understand that God does not have to make something new, but he can make all things new. You don't hear what I'm saying. That means whatever your situation or your circumstance might be, whatever issue that you're dealing with, whether it be without form or void or dark, regardless of what it is, God can take what it is and take something that should have been, what he already created, what he already put there, and then bring order to what was already present, because he's omnipresent. God does not have to. He does not have to make something new. So you're praying for him to make something new. The earth was without form. The earth was without form. The earth was without form. And God showed up and didn't say, oh, well, can't use the earth no more. You don't hear what I'm saying. He didn't show up and go, y'all pick another universe and another planet. Let's check and see what's over there in Pluto and Mars, and let's check over here in another dimension. He didn't do that. Are you even in this room with me? He didn't show up and survey the situation and say, let me pick something else. He showed up and surveyed the situation and said, let me work with what is already there. Aren't you thankful that God didn't look at your life and say, I can't work with that? I ain't got no church in here. Y'all trying to play me. I'm grateful that when God saw Michael Phillips and when he was dark and void and formless, God said, I can work with that. Oh, I need you to high five two or three people and say, God is still working with me, and God is still working on me. Oh, I wish you get down in your spirit that God is not finished with you yet. God, who am I preaching to in this room? I feel like I'm in a heavyweight fight, man. I do. I feel like I'm in about round four. So God didn't show up and survey the situation and decide I'm going to leave the situation. He showed up and surveyed the situation and said, I'm about to speak to the situation. But before I speak to the situation, I want to identify what the issues are. And the issues are is that the earth is without form and without, when it is void and darkness is upon the surface. In other words, it has a structure, but it has no function. It exists, but it ain't doing what it's supposed to do. It's not working like it's supposed to work. It's not turning like it's supposed to turn. It's just stopped. Oh, God. Well, how did the world get stopped? How did the earth get like this? God was not there. You don't hear what I'm saying. This is why the story begins when he wanted to begin. In other words, the story doesn't begin until he shows up. Oh, God, you got to hear what I'm saying. You got to hear what I'm saying. He doesn't start the story until he decides to step into the situation. Slap your neighbor high five and say, your story ain't even started yet. God is about to show up. And when he shows up, that's when the story starts. God wasn't there. Because if God was there, it would have been working. You can ask yourself the philosophical question, what would happen if God just left the world? If God just exited the world, what would happen? Some people would say nothing. Some people would say we would be immoral. We'd be more immoral than where we are. Let me give you the highway version. Let me give you the quick answer to that philosophical deep question. If God just exited the world would not exist anymore. You think it would fall deeper into darkness? No, 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 no. If he wasn't there, it would be over. You don't hear what I'm saying. No, you don't hear. See, this is not sinking into your spirit because you think I'm talking about some creation narrative of the earth. I'm talking about your life. If God wasn't there, it would be over. It might be bad, but it ain't over. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. And if God wasn't there, it would be over. You better thank him that it's not over. It's just bad. But even when it's bad, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm doing surgery on your theology right now because I need you to understand that without him, there's nothing. Without him, you get void. You get darkness. You get formlessness. You have structure, but no functionality. And if you have no functionality, all you have is dysfunction and malfunction. So God shows up, and when he shows up, he can survey what the issue is and say that the earth doesn't have its proper form, and it's void. There's nothing in it. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not living up to its potential. And the issue is not the darkness. The issue is that it lacks purpose. The issue is not the darkness. The issue is that it lacks purpose. The issue is not the darkness. The issue is that it lacks purpose. And because it lacks purpose, it lacks potential. Because nothing is here that looks like the Creator. He's not in existence in that world yet. You don't hear me. And so he says, let me survey the issue. I got to deal with it real quick. And so it's without form. It's without function. It's dark. And because it's dark, I have to understand what the darkness means. And so when we look at this understanding of scripture, we have to remove ourselves from our own cultural and linguistic categories. In other words, we look at it with our own cultural perception and the language in which we speak to try to understand what the Lord is doing and what is happening here and what is taking place in the text and in the story. What was taking place in the text and to the story is something way more powerful than just God showing up and letting light expand across the universe. is something far more powerful than just God flipping a switch and just turning on a light, like you would go into your house and turn on a light switch and all of a sudden the lights would come on. That's not what he's talking about when he said, let there be light. When he says, let there be light, he's not simply saying, I'm walking into a room and I'm cutting on the light switch and that light is going to illuminate the atmosphere. Something is happening, and what is happening is the biggest issue is that it doesn't have purpose. It is eternally in a chaotic state, and there is no order that can set it and give it a season whereby it can change the chaos and turn it into cosmos. So what God has to do is he has to set a season where the situation can turn, and if it ever tries to get chaotic, the season will correct the situation. You didn't hear what I just said. So God fixed the chaos by first setting a season to tell the chaos, you don't have a lot of time to be chaotic. I'll start with the chaos, God, and I'll make the chaos into cosmos, and I'll use the chaos to set something in a season, and the season that I'll set is called time. Up until this point, time did not exist, and so to fix the chaos, God issued time. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got time. You got to hear what I'm trying to say to you. I got to move slow so that you can get it. The reason why God set the time and God fixed this chaos the way that he did it was because you have to realize that God, even in, if we would step into the mind of the Hebrew mindset and the Jewish mindset and the ancient Near East mindset, to be able to articulate with their cultural and linguistic terms of how they thought about their deities, they worship gods who had the ability to fix destinies. You don't hear what I'm saying. And so they would worship these individual specific deities that would speak to certain things in nature, like the sun or the moon or an animal or some dark thing. When God writes this narrative, my God, he's using a Jewish mind to do it. You got to hear what I'm saying. And when he writes this narrative and Moses sits down to pen the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, when he writes it, he decides from this mindset of the reader in the ancient Near East who would begin to take this script, that the story starts with the chaos, because in their world, they would worship gods so that the God would stop the chaos. So I'm going to start the story with the chaos so that I can be relevant to the situation, so that you can know you don't have to pray to all these gods to stop the chaos. I'm going to set a season where the chaos is confound to a certain time. God, I'm preaching a little better than y'all shouting in here. Okay, I got to hurry up. It's too much here. So when God, is this all right? So when God sets this season, he sets it by highlighting at the end that darkness was over the deep. Huh? That darkness was over the face of the deep. He does this in such a way that makes it seem, that's intimated in the text, that there's nothing sinister about the darkness. Yeah. There's nothing demonic about the darkness. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. You don't hear me. There's nothing sinister about the void and the formlessness. He states it as an ambiguous statement. In other words, it's the issue is not really the issue. hear what I'm saying? In other words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and formless, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the word. Then God said, in other words, it's like this is irrelevant to what is about to happen. I just have to know what the issues were, but the issues are ambiguous to what I'm about to announce. I lost half the room. The issues are ambiguous to what he's about to announce. Because when he sets the season of time and put it in order, the issue has to stop in time. Don't patty cake me. Don't patty cake me to placate me. Listen to what I just told you. He set a season in time so that the issues would only have a certain amount of time to function in your life. So he put this cycle in place where you can get another turn and another turn and another chance and another turn and another moment and another hour and another second and a new day. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Jeremiah said it this way. I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. For those mercies are new every morning. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got an every morning anointing right here. Oh God, I ain't got no church here this morning. You got an every morning anointing that when you wake up, it's a new 24-hour season. You get to do it all over again. This is why Jesus said, give no thought for tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the stuff you're anxious about and worried about, it'll be added unto you because you get another day tomorrow. When God said, let there be light, he didn't say let there be light because something was holding the light back. He didn't say let there be light because he was speaking to the situation. Hello, Christian. I gotta speak to my situation. I gotta speak. You never speak to the situation. You only speak to yourself. Your situation is ambiguous. You don't hear what I'm saying. You got to announce it to you. Because you are the only thing that's relevant in the situation. The situation is like the darkness and the void. It's ambiguous. If I announce to myself, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I gotta announce it to myself. I gotta tell myself. I gotta command my soul. I gotta speak it to myself. Is this helping anybody? I'll quit in a second. He did not speak to the atmosphere to suggest that something was holding the light back. He was saying, I'm cutting the period of darkness. The season of chaos is ending. Oh God, and I'm announcing a new season and declaring a new period in the earth. Let there be light, because when I speak this thing, the chaos can't come back the way it used to be. Oh, I wish you would have high five two or three people and just let them know, I got a new season, baby. God is ending the chaos in my life. This is a new period that begins today. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. He says, let there be, because the let tells us the why. The what is the ambiguous nature of the situation. Oh, God. The situation is the situation. It's ambiguous. You don't hear it. You can't really put your finger on it. You don't know why you are the way you are. And God says, I'm not going to deal with that for a long time. I'm not going to put you on the sofa right now. You don't hear what I'm saying. What I'm going to do for you in this moment, world, is I'm going to take the chaos and bring chaos to cosmos. I'm not going to bring cosmos to chaos. I'm going to bring chaos to cosmos. I'm not going to bring cosmos to chaos. I'm going to bring chaos to cosmos. And so when the darkness wanted to exist, I brought the darkness into my world of order. And when I brought the darkness into my world of order, that means that the darkness can no longer comprehend the light. No, you didn't hear what I just said. You didn't. So whenever the darkness shows up, the darkness has to fall into order, because that's how he created it. So when you have a dark moment, just give it time, because over time, the darkness is going to fall into order. I don't need no organ for this one. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, my dark days are about to become ordered days. You didn't hear what I just said. My dark days are about to become ordered days. My depressed days are just days that I can talk about in my testimony that I used to have. He brought chaos to cosmos, not cosmos to chaos. He started with the thing and created the world in a chaotic state. And then spoke to it after he surveyed it and said, now let this period of time called light exist. And because light now exists, darkness cannot be sovereign. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. Because light now exists, darkness cannot rule and reign. Because light is now on the scene, my God, darkness cannot have his way. Can I go a little deeper? I don't know. Y'all look confused out there. Let there be light. He spoke a period of time into existence. When you read it, you see lights flashing. I see a clock. I see the dials of a clock going from zero, and then the milliseconds starting, then the seconds, and then the minutes. And God is sitting there in complete control of the clock. Don't hear what I'm saying. God is sitting there with complete control of the clock. Slap your neighbor real quick. Don't slap him. Just look at him. I'm sorry. I apologize. You might took that literally. Just look at him and say, my God is sovereign. My God is sovereign. God now comes and shows up into a chaotic world and says, I'll pull the chaos into my cosmos because I want to dwell here. And because I want to dwell here, I cannot dwell in chaos. I can only dwell in order. And so if I'm going to dwell here, I got to put something here that gives me the ability to come in and come out. So I'll create time because I am eternal. You don't hear what I'm saying. And I'll make time so that the earth, if you will never go through this chaotic period ever again. Your idea of chaos and God's idea of chaos are two totally different things. And God said, let there be light. And the light was, and it was good. Watch me now. And then he separated the darkness from the light. He removed the time of darkness. Yeah. And said, I'll start my story, my God, with the light. That's day one. Slap your name and say, that's day one, baby. Oh, God, I feel like preaching up in here. I'll start my story with the light. I'll start my story with the light. I'll start my story with the knowledge of me. I'll start my story with who I am. I'll start my story with my power. I'll start my story with my ability. I'll start my story with my unique anointing. God says, that's how I start the story. Day one is about me. Day six is about you. Because I need somebody to represent me. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. But God's story doesn't end with you. It ends with him. Here's where we want to go. So God sets the survey. And when he sets the survey, he says, okay, the issues are ambiguous. It's ambiguous because what I'm about to announce is going to mitigate the issue. And then once I put light in this period of time and set this period, then that means it is the ending of something and the beginning of another thing. So I can now separate, my God, so that darkness is not a run-on in your life. I can separate it, Lord have mercy, so it doesn't have the power to do what it wants to do. And then I'll pull the darkness into the chaos so that whenever darkness shows up again, it can only fall into order. Then, after I get stuff in order, I'll create something that looks like me, reflects me, that's in my image. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. Watch me now. And let them have dominion over all the earth. I thought I was. So I'll create a new world that has this period called light where I can be sovereign in it. And I'll sit over this period. Oh God, oh God. And whenever darkness shows up, because I set season and I set time, I can always send myself back in time. This is why the Bible says Jesus came in the fullness of time when it was getting dark again. And 400 years, God wasn't speaking. God, I'm preaching way better. Y'all shouting. And then he decides, now is the time for me to come back into the world. He comes back as the savior of the whole world. But the story doesn't end with you. And that's where we mess the whole thing up. The story never ends with you. It always ends with God. If the story ended in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we would be in the world of trouble. Genesis 1 ends in day 6. Genesis chapter 2 talks about day 7. So once again, God creates man. And then says, let me separate man from the ending so that they don't have to worry about the ending. I lost you a while ago. I'm almost finished with this lesson. I lost you a while ago, but here we go. I'm gonna create you on the sixth day. You can argue about the days if they're literal later. I don't care. We can argue about it till the cows come home. I'll create you on the sixth day. But I have to end the chapter there, because I gave you dominion and I blessed you and I told you be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I gave you purpose. I gave you potential. I gave you functionality. I put everything on the table for you. I spread it out just for you so that you can go and do everything I called you to do. But don't get it twisted. The story does not end with you, because if it ends with you, then you would have to be the creator of the whole scenario. And because it doesn't end with you, and only, watch me now, starts with you in the sense of me giving you dominion over the earth, I am still Lord of all. And because I'm Lord of all, I can now take a rest. And the rest that I take is not to finish working. It's just to sit in my sovereign seat so that I can keep surveying what's going on in the world that I created and use the individuals I created to bring me glory. And so it doesn't have to end with you, but it always has to end with God, because he that has begun a good work in you shall bring it to completion. I lost you a long time ago. That's all right. I'm going to get it out the way I want to get it out. When the Bible says that the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, he blessed the Sabbath day and he called it holy. And he took his rest. It doesn't mean he stopped working. It means he enthroned himself over this period of time. He took a seat. He didn't stop working. He just sat down. You don't hear what I'm saying. And then the world started to fall into chaos again. And he says, I'll send my son in the fullness of time. You don't hear what I'm saying. And Jesus walked the earth in time for 33 and a half years. Then died and then rose. And then when he rose, the Bible says he then took a seat and was seated next to the Father. And then 50 days after that, which is 7 days from today, the Bible says that the third part of the Godhead decided to now come into this world and rule over this dispensation. This is why the Acts account tells us that there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. You don't hear what I'm saying. And it filled all the house. And there sat upon each of them as tongues of cloven fire. It was the Holy Spirit sitting down like Jesus sat down on the period of creation. Like God sat down in the beginning. The Lord is sitting on your situation. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to go home and pass out somewhere, because I have preached to you the word of the Lord. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I just told you. God gave you a season called a day. Tomorrow is a new season. Tuesday is a new season. Wednesday is a new season. Thursday is a new season. Friday is a new season. Saturday is a new season. You don't, and then Sunday, you catch your breath to realize the Lord is sitting on your situation. God, I'm preaching up in here. I'm done. The enemy wants you sitting right where you sit, looking oblivious to what God just announced. How can you be oblivious to what God just announced? How can you sit there and look at me like I didn't just tell you that your situation is ambiguous to God? He is God. He'll step into your situation and sit down and pull it into order. Oh, God. Sit here and look at me like your situation is omnipotent. God is only omnipotent. Your problem is just a problem. God is greater than your problem. Oh, the devil is a liar. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to tell you, thus saith the Lord. And I just told you that God just said to you that he gave you a day. So you can wake up tomorrow and say, let there be light. Oh, you don't hear. You can walk into your house and say, let there be light. And speak to any chaotic situation and say, I call you into order, because that's how God created you. I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down. He created the chaos to listen and submit to your announcement. He pre-programmed chaos. God, that when something of his spirit announces light, chaos has to conform, oh God, to the cosmos. I can't get ahead of myself. This is why when a believer speaks the word, my God, something has to happen. Because you are the light of the world. The enemy wants you to think you're void, powerless, empty, that you can do nothing. But he's a liar. Step into that situation and say, I stand in the proxy of my Creator, whom I made in his image. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm God. Talk to any darkness you want to talk to and tell it, come to order. I'm done. Stand up. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm done. If you want to be entertained, I apologize, because I didn't do that. And I refuse to do that. Lives are on the line. People are dying. The enemy is wreaking havoc all over this world. And the body of Christ is shouting it out. I know we got stuff to do. I know I got baby dedication. I know all this stuff is going on. But people are dying. And if we ever lose the seriousness of why we're here, the seriousness of why you come here, it's not to hear some God, not to be entertained, not to hear some good singing. He bless the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is his own period of time. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's separate from everything else. And this is why he sat on that day. It's a Sabbath. It's a Shabbat. It's a day that you catch your breath. It's a day that you look at your issues through the lens of a God who is much bigger. It's where you exchange your microscope for his telescope. It's where you stop looking at your stuff and trying to figure out what's beneath the surface. That's why the gospel says darkness is on the surface. It wasn't in the deep. You digging way too deep. You digging way too deep. You digging way too deep. It's the devil. It's demonic. It's this. It's that. God didn't even look at the darkness as something that was evil. And he decided to start his day in the evening and the morning was the first day. Because he pulls the chaos into the cosmos. So the dark, the, you know what I'm saying? The evening in the morning was the first day. Not the morning, then the evening. He doesn't end with darkness, he ends with light. Let there be light. Let there be a new period of God's power in your life. Let. Help me, Holy Ghost. Guys, listen to me. I love you. I know how to preach. I know how to pull the strings. I know how to get that organ blaring. I know how to do church. Here's the problem. I don't want to do church. I want to do change. I don't care if you left here feeling good. Care that you left here changed. If you want to feel good, go to a movie. Go out, go dancing. Do something fun. Something healthy, fun, like holy fun. I just care that you're changed. There seems to be this depressive funk over this church the last 3 weeks with a lot of distractions. Because I believe that we are upon the greatest period of this church's existence. I believe that God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And the greatest work that we are to do is just ahead. And so the enemy would love to lull you to sleep through how we do this thing called church. But the message I just preached to you is something you should listen to over and over and over again. You didn't understand half the stuff I said. And don't even act like you did, because you didn't. What I said to you was that God didn't just show up to a situation and then abandon it. He didn't show up to something chaotic and say, I can't work with it. He showed up to something chaotic and said, I'll create from the chaos. Yeah. What? And when I create from the chaos, because that was my platform, the chaos has to always do what I tell it to do. I could give you 100 illustrations of this. I can give you a hell of a... When they put your computer together and write the program in, the computer has to comply to the input. It's pre-programmed. God pre-programmed the chaos. It might not have blessed you, it blessed me. I want us to lift those hands real quick. I got to do a couple things. They told me I got to take the offering, so I got to take the offering. But I just want to pray over you. I don't know what time it is. I don't care. Somebody is in chaos. Your life, your home, your marriage, your business, your mind, chaos. And I want you to know that God pre-programmed the chaos. Oh, God, Jesus. He pre-programmed it to fall into cosmos. He pre-programmed it to have to comply to the input of the announcement of light. So whenever light shows up, darkness cannot comprehend the light. So it has to comply because it can't comprehend. Father, I thank you. Some of us are in some dark places. We're not admitting it. We're not talking about it. So dark, we can't even lift our hands. We can't even give you praise. We have no energy. We're zapped. We're just is. Just walking around, just doing. But we're hurting. Don't know why we're hurting, but we are. Don't know why we're zapped of energy, but we are. Can't really put our finger on it, can't really articulate it, but we are. And when you show up in our lives, God, you say, it's ambiguous. Because when I announce something, I'll put a period and separate it so that the darkness can't do what it wants to do. Then I'll begin to create and call forth all that was within you. I'll bring to say, let the earth bring forth and let this purpose come and let this potential come. And I'll recreate what was there. I'll bring order back from the chaos. And I'll set the season of time in order and give you two great lights to rule it. One to rule the day and one to rule the night. And start your seasons, start your cycles, so that you know it is always has the power to turn around. So, Father, let us know that our situations always have within it the power to turn around. You never stop praying for us. You never stop loving us. Thank you for this. Now we command ourselves, we speak to ourselves right now, and we tell ourselves, you will live and you will not die. You will come out of depressive funks. You will come out of this dark energy, and you will embrace the light of the true and living God. You will rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. You will have hope because you have a future. You will have life because it's in you. We command ourselves. We command ourselves. We make our soul make its boast in the Lord. And we declare right now, it is well with our soul. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you agree with it, shout amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.